And welcome in to the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you. Hope everybody is off to a marvelous start to their Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. We got lots to dive into today. The Tennessee Titans fall again to the Indianapolis Colts. We got a lot to say on that front today on the program. We'll go ahead and take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tennessee survives a scare, and that's maybe putting it lightly, with the Florida Gators over the weekend to get to 5-1, setting up a game that, quite frankly, I have no idea what to think about with Tennessee and Alabama coming up next weekend. We'll get into that a little bit later in the program. And Vanderbilt keeps it going, baby, taking down the Wildcats. They build on the Alabama win. And Vanderbilt playing some really good football right now. We'll get into all that throughout the show today. Paul Kuharsky will be with us at 7:30. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8 o'clock. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How we doing?
We're doing okay. I'm in parts unknown. I'm in witness protection. I'm trying to not have to watch any more Tennessee Titans football. So I've decided to go into hiding to see if that will help. Because it's hard. It is hard to watch this team.
It is very hard to watch this team. There's no doubt about that. Keiser, good morning. What's going on? How we doing?
Good morning. Yeah, doing well. Can't complain. Had a nice weekend and got to do a little bit of early Halloween celebration with some friends. Wow. But yeah, having a grand old time this Monday morning.
Well, let's get into it. Indianapolis wins 20-17 yesterday, and kind of what was surprising to most people, I think a little bit later into the morning, it came out that Joe Flacco was going to be the starter for the Colts. So Anthony Richardson participated in practice last week, was a full participant in practice toward the end of the week, and it felt like he was going to be getting the start, and it was going to be Anthony Richardson versus Will Levis, and that was not the case. Joe Flacco gets the start for the Colts yesterday, immediately drives the Colts down the field, and they score a touchdown on their opening drive. But really, you know, the Colts didn't do that much offensively, just purely by the numbers. They ran for 80 yards, only had 2.9 yards per carry with no Jonathan Taylor in the game. Flacco finished 22 of 38 for 189 yards with two touchdowns and one interception. But that was enough to get the win against the Tennessee Titans. The Titans, once again, Joe, finished with 17 points, which seems to be the magic number when Will Levis is in at quarterback and they don't have Tyler Huntley quarterbacking the opposition. 17 points yet again for the Tennessee Titans. And against one of the worst defenses in the NFL, Titans ran the ball fine. 28 carries, 146 yards, 5-2 a carry. They threw the ball for 95 yards. A week after Trevor Lawrence lit up the Indianapolis Colts for 371 yards through the air, the Titans mustered up a magical 95 yards throwing the football yesterday. Just beautiful football to watch from the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, it was nasty. It was nasty. And you know, I actually thought the offensive line was, I think that we're seeing progress with the offensive line. Like you said, certainly in terms of run blocking, but even in pass protection, I did not feel like it was like earlier in the season where, you know, it's just, you know, you basically, it's a pass play and you just throw caution to the wind and, you know, you're going to have to at least dodge one rusher before you look downfield. They're getting better, although I don't know that Leroy Watson is the answer right tackle, but, you know, they're trying to find solutions over there. He had, I think, three penalties yesterday, but it wasn't a disaster up front, right? The disaster is just having any ability to either get people open, hit people when they're open, catch the ball when you're open and they hit you. It just, you know, anything functional with this passing game, it's hard to figure, you know. Obviously I know we're going to get into Ridley for sure, but you know, Tyler Boyd finally makes an appearance late in the game, but it's like, where's that all game, right? You know, I will say that the best thing that happened with this offense was, you know, that they set up that NWI touchdown. Like, that was good play calling that leads to the NWI touchdown, because you're screening him to death and they're like, there's no way 15 is going to, he's blocking on this play. He hasn't been targeted once this year. There's a touchdown.
Yep.
But after that, it's just like, they just had no answers. And I mean, I think it's, I mean, look, I think the biggest problem is the quarterback. It's got to be. He's not the only problem, but it's got to be him as the biggest problem.
Yeah, it's bad. We're going to get more specifically into him. I said it last week, I'm close to being out on Will Levis. And yesterday was probably it for me. I mean, I'm out. So it's not good enough. The fact that that's your offensive output when you're coming out of the bye week and you've had some chances to work on some things, self-scout, and quite frankly, when you're going up against one of the worst defenses in the NFL, which make no mistake about it, that's what the Colts are. They are one of the worst defenses in the NFL, both on the ground game, which the Titans did exploit yesterday, and through the air, which the Titans did not exploit yesterday. For that to be the offensive output and you not reach 100 yards passing in an NFL game is not acceptable yesterday. It's just not acceptable. And look, I know, what Levis talked about the interception yesterday, and they started talking about this on the broadcast too. Like, maybe his shoulder isn't healthy enough to really deliver that ball down the field. Well, if that's the case, he shouldn't have played. Like, Will Levis, I don't know that Will Levis is good enough when completely healthy to win you football games, much less when he's not. So if
Right.
he's not healthy enough to push the ball down the field, then that's 100% on coaching, and that's coaching malpractice to put him out there yesterday. So, quite frankly, when they started talking about, and he got up there in the postgame press conference, and he started talking about, well, if I was completely healthy, I'd probably have a little bit more zip on the ball, but felt like I was healthy enough to win. Well, I don't know that you're healthy enough to win when you're completely healthy, much less when you're not. So don't give me that crap. I thought that was absurd in the postgame press conference yesterday.
Yeah, no. Look, if he can't make that throw, he shouldn't play. Also, the issue with that, excuse me, the issue with that throw, as pointed out by Adam Archuleta on the broadcast, is that he patted the ball and he patted the ball, and then he okay, he's open. Now I'm going to throw it. I mean, he was way late with the throw. Maybe he has more like that lateness. I don't care if you have more zip on it. You're at least getting it broken up.
Right.
Right, if you wait that long. So it was upstairs that was the issue there. But I'm with you. I mean, if it's really to the point where, because the game plan certainly had very little pushing the ball down the field in it. If that was a result of, well, Will's shoulder just not quite there, let's not do that, then yeah, just go. I mean, that's a fine enough reason to go with the other QB if you actually can't function as a quarterback, as a starter. And I'll tell you, Robbie, I hear you on coaching malpractice, and it may be that simple. There's also this, look, it is the Will Levis year, right? And I mean, I'm just saying, organizationally, is there pressure that, well, he's just got to start no matter what? I don't know that, but I'm just saying we've seen weird stuff from ownership here
We have.
in the last couple of years.
There's no doubt. And whatever the case is, 16 to 27 for 95 yards, a touchdown and a pick yesterday, quarterback rating of 63. It's just not good enough. And again, you have to factor in who you're playing too. Like, Trevor Lawrence the week before looked like an all-pro against this team. And go look at what Trevor Lawrence has done in basically every other game, right? It's not been very good from Trevor Lawrence in that offense. That's the defense that you were playing yesterday. Indy's terrible. Indy's got an awful defense. And look, you caught a bad break because I do believe, if Anthony Richardson plays, then you've got a better chance to win yesterday. And you look, Flacco didn't do anything special yesterday. He threw the pick. He probably could have thrown a couple more. He threw for a buck 89. There were a couple of plays where the defense let him down, right? Like, Josh Downs had a big day yesterday, 7 catches, 66 yards, had the touchdown. I'm sure we'll get into L'Jarius Sneed at some point today. It certainly was not a perfect day from the defense. But the bottom line is, they gave up 20 points. You were taking on a defense that's awful. And yet again, we're sitting here talking about 17 points being the output that you were able to put up on the scoreboard yesterday. And at some point, it's just like beating your head against the wall. That's what it feels like watching this Titans offense. And Joe, that was such a big game. We've talked about this from a scheduling standpoint. You really needed to have that one yesterday. And I know, Detroit just suffered a really big loss with Aiden Hutchinson, which was gross to watch yesterday. But they're still pretty darn good. They hung up 47 points yesterday against Dallas. You got Buffalo coming up. I mean, 1-6 feels like an inevitability at this point. It's the National Football League, and I get it, weird things happen. But I mean, it feels like you're staring 1-6 right in the face right now with this loss in a game that you just really needed to have at home yesterday. I just thought it's hard for me to overstate the disappointment coming out of that loss yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's 1-6 seems like it's an inevitability. Like you said, you know, we've seen crazier things than this team beating one of those teams on the road. Excuse me. But 1-6 seems like an inevitability. And at that, yeah, look, we've been fighting off the draft talk. We're not going to get out of November. We're not going to get out of November. I got the text line already talking to who do we take with the top three pick? So it's rough, man. And I just, you know, we'll get to all of it, but Ridley and also then Snead. I mean, Legarius Snead, you talk about some of your big acquisitions just completely not coming up with plays. And look, I don't think Legarius Snead is a bad corner after yesterday. I mean, you know, good corners get beat, but the bottom line is he did. He got the PI, he gave up the TD, then he gave up the key first down to keep it going. He got beat by pretty good receivers, not, you know, like top of the line NFL receivers. So just you can go up and down this team. I mean, we'll talk mostly about Levis today, and that's, you know, and the offense, which is awful. But like all up and down this team, that defense has a real knack for failing in key moments as well.
Well, and special teams continuing to give up big returns, or, you know, lining up in an illegal formation and, you know, on the kick return, which is just amazing. Like it continues to be problems there. And look, I am by no means am I making an excuse for the Titans, because to me, that's an inexcusable loss that they had yesterday based on the circumstances and what you had, you know, potentially at your disposal offensively. I thought the officiating was atrocious in that game. And I thought it was awful. You know, the missed call on DeAndre Hopkins on that third down for pass interference is just totally inexcusable. I mean, the referee is standing right there looking at it.
I mean, that's one of those, like, 99 out of 100. How did the one time out of 100 happen? How do you not call that?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable to me that that's a missed call in a National Football League game. Your officials can't do better than that. Again, the Titans had plenty of opportunities to go win that game besides that, but I just thought that was atrocious yesterday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We're off and running. Titans fall 20-17 to the Indianapolis Colts yesterday, and I'm out on Will Levis. We'll get a little bit more into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. Titans lose 20-17 to the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. Will Levis finishing 16 of 27 for just 95 yards. That is 3.5 yards per pass yesterday against the Colts. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Joe, I'm out. I've seen enough from Will Levis. And I'm not saying that they need to bench him, because, quite frankly, I don't really know what that's going to do for you at this point. Like, maybe you end up, instead of drafting third overall, you're drafting eighth overall at that point. But you're 1-4. I think the more he plays, and this is just me, you may disagree with it, and that's fine. But the more he plays, the more I'm convinced that the Atlanta and Miami games that we keep coming back to last year are just complete outliers. That's the more I watch him play, the more I'm convinced that's what it is. And we're going to have, you know, the detailed conversation, you know, continuing about him and what's happening and why has it gone wrong and why does it look like he's regressing from where he was last year, and all those things I think are fair conversation on the table. But to me, I have lost all hope that he is going to ever turn into a legitimate franchise quarterback, which is the goal. Can he be a spot starter in the NFL if you're in a pinch at some point? Maybe. You know, could he improve from where he is now to where maybe he'll be in a year or two from now? Certainly, that's possible. We see it throughout the league. I'm out. I've lost all hope that he is going to be a franchise quarterback for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to sit here and, by the way, is my voice coming through milky and smooth now?
Sounds great.
Is it better? Beautiful. That's my fault. That was a equipment malfunction on my part last segment. I apologize. And I can't
sit here and I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. I mean, I would not. Everything you just said, I'm not. There's not one thing you said where I'm like, whoa, pump the brakes, buddy. I mean, it looks bad. It looks bad in terms of seeing the field, making decisions, being accurate enough. He did slide yesterday.
He did.
He slid well.
I was shocked.
So he's worked on some stuff. Unfortunately, he also just absolutely annihilated the ball boy.
Yeah, that was not good.
Hope that guy is recovering well. They reported on the broadcast that he's had to have surgery. That's brutal. But look, I'm not. I can't argue with you. I think you're going. That's going to end up being right. I would continue to play him, just because. You know, in this league, way crazier things have happened than a guy who looks like Will Levis right now at quarterback becoming a good quarterback. Crazier things have happened. I'm trying to think of who would be, you know, maybe a guy like I was certain that Sam Darnold was just awful. You know, just an awful player. Just like, yeah, this guy just has no clue. And you look at him now. So could that happen at some point for Will Levis? Sure. But at this point, he doesn't appear equipped to get this done. And again, the whole thing is a bad situation.
It is.
That's where you get into dicing up, you know, okay, so what all has gone into this? But I do think that the biggest thing is that he prepares and he knows what he's doing and he knows what he's talking about and he can talk through everything and he's got all the physical tools. And then he just on game day, it's just not there. And I think you're probably right that, you know, those performances last year are going to end up being outliers for him. And the reality is more what we're seeing now.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, morning, Robbie, man. Yeah, in a hotel in Atlanta, dude. I watched the Falcons and Panthers yesterday, and the whole time I'm thinking both these teams would smoke us. Like, they really would. As bad as our – it's just ridiculous to me, dude. He can't pass for 100 yards against a defense that made Trevor Lawrence look like Tom Brady. It really makes me sick. Dude, can we stop with this quarterback guru crap? Like, that dude – he quarterbacked Peyton Manning after he already had a Hall of Fame career. He quarterbacked Matt Stafford after he'd already had a Hall of Fame career. Like, I'm not – get out of here with that, dude. Joe Burrow didn't need him. Like, you finally get a chance to work with a quarterback who needs a good quarterback coach, and he sucks. He can't pass for 100 yards. He's clearly digressed. So what are we even doing here, dude? Why is he not in consideration to be fired? I hate to do that 5 games into his coaching career, but I don't think he's the dude, man. I don't think the quarterback's the dude. I don't think the coach is the dude. But if you're supposed to be a quarterback guru, I don't want to continue on with you either because you did nothing for him. That's where I'm at, dude.
Thanks for the call, Adam. Well, look.
Hey, we're firing Brian Callahan before 6:30. I love
it. We are. I said this yesterday. You know, Will Levis, to me, is the biggest piece of this because he's just been horrible. I mean, there's no other way to slice it. You know, I try not to be a person that overreacts and hot takes things. I do my best not to do that. Sometimes I fail. But when he threw that interception again yesterday, I just tweeted. I was like, Will Levis is absolutely terrible. Like, he's terrible. And right now, that's what he is. Can that change? Sure. We'll see what happens. But right now, he's a terrible quarterback. So that's problem number one with the Tennessee Titans. I will say, though, Joe, it has not been impressive on the Brian Callahan front to this point. And I'm, you know, the idea of firing him, I'm not close to that. I mean, it's year one as a head coach. There's really nothing outside of, like, scandal off the field that could happen with Brian Callahan this year for me to actually consider firing him after 1 year. But the early returns are not good. Like, I said it yesterday on Twitter. Like, you're paying him to have some answers. And right now, it just doesn't really look like he's got answers. And that, to me, is concerning as they move forward here. You know, we're going to get into the Ridley stuff here in just a few minutes because, man, did he have some comments after the game yesterday. But for whatever reason, whether that's – if you want to blame it 100% on Levis, you can do that. If you want to blame it on Ridley, that's fine. I blame some of it on the coaching staff too. Like, they cannot get Ridley involved for whatever reason. They can't get him the football. That's 3 games in a row now where it's just been a total non-factor from Calvin Ridley on the offensive side of things. It has not been a very impressive start for Brian Callahan to this point.
I agree. Now, I will say that if you are certain that Levis is terrible, you know, to me, there's a little bit of a sliding scale here. I agree with you. Like, you can't put it all like there's got to be some blame on the coaching staff. But I do think there's a little bit of a sliding scale, right? So if you think Levis is terrible, then I think you have to give a little bit of a break to the coaches,
I would
Callahan,
agree.
Right? So it's sort of like, I don't know what I can do with this. But certainly, you're right. He's paid to have answers, just like Adam in Portland said. You know, I mean, he's the QB guy, and he's talked about how excited he is about Levis, and he's come in here, and everybody's like, what are we looking at? So it's fair. Yeah, the whole firing thing is just it doesn't need to be uttered anymore this year. I'm sure it will, especially if they keep losing. That's just not a realistic. I mean, unless you, like, again, that would be Amy Adams Strunk saying, hi, everybody, I'm the worst owner in sports. I mean, that's seriously like that's
it would be completely moronic. Yes.
Yeah, that, you're not doing that. But I do. I think that's a bit of a sliding scale. If you still think there's something there and they're not getting the best out of Levis, well, then it's more on the coaches. I tend to drift more toward the guy just going out there on Sundays and just playing, doing things in games that the coaching staff didn't expect him to do, or not doing things they do expect him to do in terms of seeing the field and making plays.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Titans lose 20-17. To the Indianapolis Colts yesterday, and one Titans player sounding off in the media after the game. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Nashville's best deal this week is Staley Chicago Italian Dining right here in Nashville. Winners of numerous Best of Awards, this is truly one of the best-kept secrets in Nashville. Staley Chicago Italian Dining brings amazing Italian food to the South, including original Italian beef sandwiches, Vienna Chicago-style hot dogs, and the best gyros south of Chicago. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $20 gift card while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Titans fall 20-17 yesterday. And Joe, Calvin Ridley finishing with 0 catches for 0 yards on 8 targets yesterday, which when you really think about it in the National Football League, that's hard to pull off. It's hard to pull off having 8 targets thrown your way and to not come up with any of them is pretty difficult to accomplish in an NFL game, which means the last 3 weeks of production for Calvin Ridley in the passing game are this. 1 catch for 9 yards against the Packers, 1 catch for 5 yards against Miami, 0 catches for 0 yards against the Colts. In the last 3 weeks, he's got 2 catches for 14 yards. And then yesterday, 8 targets, 0 catches, 0 yards. And Calvin Ridley was asked about that after the game yesterday, and the answer was quite interesting. Here's what Calvin Ridley had to say in the post game yesterday.
I had targets in what part of the game?
Fourth quarter, a lot of them.
All right, then. So I need some in the beginning of the too, then, like, crazy for me. So I'm just, you know, it is what it is. But I suck today. I gotta be better. But I gotta get the ball a little early in the game so I can be in the game and here with the team so I can play well also.
So that's Calvin Ridley after the game yesterday talking about, yeah, when did I get those targets? I was in the fourth quarter. And then went on a profanity-laced tirade about how he needs to get the ball earlier in the game and have the ball thrown his way. What do you make of this Calvin Ridley situation right now, Joe? Obviously, this is a problem. I mean, 8 targets and no catches yesterday is ridiculous. I mean, some of that you can put on Brian Callahan if you want to. Some of that's on Levis for sure. Some of that's on him. Like, when the ball is thrown your way, it'd be nice to catch it every now and then. What do you make of what's going on with Calvin Ridley right now and just the inability to get him involved in this offense?
Yeah, well, did they not do a good enough job of getting it to him early? Did they force trying to get it to him late? I don't know. I mean, I've never heard of 8 targets and no catches in the NFL. I'm sure it's happened. It's like your Green Bay Packers, like Don Hutson with a T in like 1947. You know, maybe that happened with a huge oblong pigskin ball, you know.
Don would have caught the ball.
Yeah, well, yeah, but maybe just bad passes. I don't know. As I look at yesterday, I will say there was one target. And actually, I think it was probably Levis's best pass on that in cut in the fourth quarter where at first I thought it was a fumble. But, you know, it's perfect pass, both hands, and, you know, two defenders are closing and they hit him and they're able to knock the ball out of there. It's like you got to secure that. And, like, that was a big play. that they needed to make and that he needed to make, and he didn't make. That's just straight up on him. We've talked about the pick where, like, it's that's just totally on Levis for waiting and waiting and, okay, now I'll throw it. And, yeah, again, if the shoulder's a factor there, then that's another issue. But, you know, I will, again, I'm going to go back to the only thing that they did yesterday offensively that I liked was they started out with the screen game stuff that set up a touchdown that Levis could have punted to NWI,
yep.
Right? So I mean, I guess you could have made Ridley the recipient of one of those screens, you know, which would have been fine. I mean, why not? I mean, to me, they finally gave him a little end around, right? To finally, like, get him the ball. I think that was like in the second quarter.
Yeah, and he picked up like 7 yards or whatever it was.
Right. You know, so they were already thinking like, okay, get him the ball somehow. But other than that, like, again, the early stuff, that was good. That was a good setup to get yourself a red zone touchdown. But I mean, I can't sit here and tell you his route running. How many times is he open? You know, quarterbacks miss open guys plenty. I mean, I think you probably would trace this most to just Levis, you know, not being able to make some of the throws or see him fast enough or whatever it is. But also, it just does not speak well of Ridley either. I mean, like, you know, you've got to, again, when you have an opportunity for like that play I mentioned, you have to make that play. So now you have this, you know, losing team, and that's when stuff like this really starts to flare up, when individuals, you know, are also not living up to their contract or not getting opportunities, or they feel they're not getting opportunities and you're losing. That's when things can get kind of corrosive.
Well, and it started yesterday, right? I mean, when you're kind of blowing up in the locker room with the media after the game and you're 5 games into the season, it's not good. Now, clearly, I mean, look, clearly there's a problem on offense. And to me, I mean, it starts with the quarterback. I mean, the quarterback's just not very good. And that, I don't know how much you can really accomplish at that point if your quarterback's going to play as poorly as Will Levis has played to this point. But, you know, this has been a problem. You know, we talk all the time on this show, Joe, about, like, training camp and what translates and what doesn't. Well, this one goes back to camp. Like, they have, for whatever reason, Levis and Ridley have not been able to get on the same page. They just haven't been able to do it. And I don't know how much of it is just simply that, you know, Levis is not very good and he can't get the ball where it needs to be. But you brought up a good example yesterday. That's an example of Levis throwing the ball where it needs to be thrown and hitting Ridley in both hands and him just not being able to come up with it. For whatever reason, they have just not been able to figure this out. And look, we've seen Calvin Ridley play good football in the NFL, right? Like, he was a really good player for Atlanta before all the gambling stuff happened. You know, last year in Jacksonville, you know, it wasn't perfect, but he ended up with 76 catches for over 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns last year on a team that wasn't very good. Like, he's been a productive guy his entire career. And right now, just think about this, and it's obviously was highlighted yesterday. He has 27 targets on the season, which first off is not enough, but he's got 27 targets on the season. He's got 9 catches, which means, like, that is an unacceptable failure rate in terms of the target-to-catch ratio with Calvin Ridley. And you can blame all that on Levis if you want to, but that's bad. I mean, they got to get that part figured out soon.
Per my math, that means he's caught a third of the passes that have been, and that's a very bad number. So, no, it's bad. And again, it has been the talk all through camp. So, I mean, some of it absolutely goes on Levis, but some of it has to go on Ridley, and some of it goes on the coaches, and all the way around. You know, you go back to the acquisition of Ridley. You know, it's kind of a, I mean, the way that Rand Carthon described it, it sounds like losing some guys, probably like Al-Shaair and Autry, opened up money and they said, okay, well, let's try this. I mean, I don't hate the idea. In theory, I think they needed to do something like that, right? And I still think Calvin Ridley is a very talented receiver who's good enough to be a number one receiver on a team, not one of the top ones, but like I think he's good enough for that. But maybe, I mean, I like, there's got to be some, there's obviously some disconnect. I can't absolve him completely of it either, right? Like, it's just, it's just weird how we're talking now, it's really a couple months and running of, gosh, are they ever going to get on the same page? And I can't precisely split up that pie of responsibility, but Ridley has to have some of it.
There's no doubt. Ridley's got to have some of it, and he's had too many drops this year. I mean, even the Miami game where he had one catch for 5 yards or whatever it was, I mean, he runs like a simple out route. Rudolph hits him in stride, and he just drops the ball. Like, there have been too many drops from Ridley this year too. But this is part of, you know, me going back to the coaching staff too. Like, some of this is on Brian Callahan. Like, you got to find a way to get your best players the football and to get them in positions to succeed. And, you know, 27 targets, 9 catches isn't good enough. And maybe it is as simple, and this is where I would start. Like, if I am, dividing up a blame pie, Levis is where I'm going to put the majority of it, because I just think Levis right now is a horrible quarterback. But Brian Callahan has got to figure out an answer to this. And we've gotten a couple of different text messages to this effect today that's basically saying, you know, I'm out on Levis, but I am interested to see, like, how much of this is just Levis being awful and how much of this is Brian Callahan maybe in over his skis a little bit. And I don't know what the answer to that is, but right now, like, it has not been impressive on the Brian Callahan front. And I have to put at least a little bit of the blame for Ridley not being able to get involved and not being able to get on the same page. Some of that has to go on the head coach and the play caller.
Yeah, well, no, absolutely. And again, when you have the play calling head coach, you tend to put everything on the play calling head coach, which I understand. But remember, Brian Callahan got this job without being a play caller, right? And that's how it goes. Now these guys, they're OCs, but the head coach is calling the plays, and now the OC. I mean, I talked to Zach Taylor about Brian Callahan, and he told me all this stuff about how important he was and how critical he was to everything and how he basically set up the roadmap for him on Sundays. Well, Nick Holtz is that guy for Brian Callahan. So, you know, we tend to not want to, you know, I feel like offensive coordinators are overblamed. We've talked about that millions of times, right? Like, it's the easiest job to nitpick because we all see exactly what you're doing with your job. So when you're not a play caller, I think sometimes people tend to not think of that person, but like, he's the offensive coordinator still. And he's still, during the week, a huge part of all this. So I look at him too. That's a guy who has never been, just like Callahan's a rookie head coach, but Callahan, to me, has the path to here. Makes sense. Nick Holtz kind of has an elevation to this job. If you look at his career path, and I think he should be involved in that discussion as well.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Larry to the program. Larry, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I guess I'm wondering, as a Titans fan, what's the holdup on going to the backup quarterback? I know it's not a great subject, but I don't want to keep watching. If the team's not interested in winning, I don't want to keep watching.
Yeah, I understand that. Thanks for the call, Larry. I mean, look, I don't dismiss that out of hand anymore, Joe. I mean, we've talked about that. I mean, obviously I don't. I'm out on Levis. So I don't dismiss that out of hand. I don't really know what you're gaining going to Rudolph. Like, is you going to be a playoff team now that Rudolph's your quarterback? Probably not. Also, you're 1-4 at this point, so – you know, I'm kind of the mindset of, if you're going to go down, then just go down with the ship and let Levis kind of guide you there. And then you'll see, we will get into that draft talk in November, and that'll be really fun times on the program. Yay. But, you know, I do hear people when they start saying, you know, losing the locker room and the team and all that, you know, Ridley blowing up yesterday is not a great start. And the more losing that takes place here, Joe, the nastier it's probably going to get with some of these guys, especially – you know, in the case of Ridley here, when you just cannot get the football for whatever reason.
Yeah. No, look, it's I totally understand anybody bringing it up now. I mean, just because Levis has been, it's been so bad, you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, at what point have you seen enough? I mean, I will say that at some point, because here we are, you know, Levis, we'd all put him at the top of the list, but there are other things you wonder about. At some point, it probably isn't a terrible idea for Brian Callahan, if this continues the way it is, to have Mason Rudolph in there, quarterback a game, and say, see, I actually can call plays, and right, we have an offense that can function. You know, I wouldn't do it the next two games. Mason Rudolph is not leading you to wins in those games either. So, you know, but I think, you know, you're probably getting closer to that point. And another thing this week is, I mean, like if it's going to be back to, yeah, you know, he can't quite throw that deep ball. It's like, then you have to sit him. I mean, like if the game plan yesterday against, like you said earlier, Robbie, a terrible defense was, well, we just can't throw it down the field. Well, then that's just dumb.
It's bad.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, if they approached that game yesterday knowing that Levis couldn't push the ball down the field and they decided to go with him anyway, that does not inspire confidence. Like, it's one thing if Patrick Mahomes is trying to play through an injury. I think you just kind of live with whatever he decides to do. Will Levis has not earned that. Will Levis and may not ever earn that. But, like, he's not good enough to do that. So, to me, if that's the way you approach the game yesterday, then that would give me some serious concerns about whoever made that call, whether it's Rand Carthon, whether it's the coaching staff with Brian Callahan. That's not good enough if that's the way they approached that game yesterday. We'll have more of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Titans fall to 1-4 after the loss to Indianapolis yesterday. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 93.3 Totally Hits Nashville tomorrow night for MTSU football. Blue Raiders taking on Kennesaw State at Floyd Stadium. Pregame at 5:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock. MTSU football coverage on 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville, presented by Sloan's Motorcycle ATV. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Titans fall to 1-4 yesterday. 2017 loss to their division rival, the Indianapolis Colts. Taking your thoughts all day long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go back to our phone line. Welcome in Chad in Hendersonville. Chad, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. You know, where do you start, really, is where I'm at. Is like, where do you start in so many directions? I guess, I mean, we could just, you know, pick one out of a hat, and so I will. Situational football, decision-making down there at the end. I mean, what planet are you on, or how low is your football IQ to not go for it on fourth down there at the near the end of the game? I mean, why are you just – are you waving the white flag? Because if you really believe that your defense is going to get a stop, then go for it on fourth down and your defense will give a stop. They'll kick a field goal, and now you've got a minute and a half, 2 minutes to go down the field and at least have a shot. And then, you know, talking situational football, your punt return – never in the history of the game is putting 10 guys on the line and trying to rush the punter's just going to kick the ball as quick as he, if somebody sneaks through. Nobody's ever blocked a punt in that situation. You've got to set up some kind of return. You can still rush 8 guys and try to keep the kicker pressure on the punter, but you got to set up some kind of return. This idea of putting 10 guys on the line and then just watch the punt returner let the ball roll down to completely forfeit any chance you're going to have to even get a Hail Mary. So just situational low IQ football has me concerned. And finally, if you're going to play this quarterback, you've got to feed him with confidence. I mean, we all know sports is all about confidence. And I mean, I don't even know what's going on there. So to me, it's just pulling stuff out of a hat. Your thoughts?
Yep. Thanks for the call, Chad. Appreciate it. I mean, look, the special teams part of this, you know, they're in a bad spot either way, Joe, with that last fourth down. You know, you're on your side of the field. If you go for it and you miss it, I mean, the game is essentially over with at that point. And all Indy's got to do is kick a field goal, and then you've got to go back down the other way and score a touchdown. So I don't have a huge problem with the decision to punt there, but you got to come up with a stop, right? Like, I mean, Indy's able to convert a first down the next drive, and that basically takes all the time off the clock after that. So you got to come up with a stop in that situation. And then as far as the confidence is concerned, like, I understand the thought process there. You got to get your quarterback feeling confident. But at some point, like, the quarterback, it's on the quarterback to get himself feeling confident, right? Like, you got to make the right plays, make the right throws. And I don't know that he's got the ability to do that with any sort of consistency after 5 games of this.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree. You know, to support the caller on that decision to punt, the analytics – you know, the probability strongly supported going.
Yeah, there. I mean, I wouldn't have had any problem with them going for it. I'm just saying you need to stop if you don't in that situation.
For sure, yeah. I mean, to me, it was 50-50. I mean, the defense had, well, given up 20 points. I mean, it's your defense is still by far your best performing unit. You gain the yardage from the punt, and, you know, you hope you can get it back. And then, of course, you don't get the stop. So, I mean, that's, you know, the defense, again, this defense overall, the numbers are good, but the lack of clutchness is pretty glaring at this point. You know, you think back to like the Jets game, for example, you know, hold them down all day, but then, oh, here you go, boom, boom, and you lose a game. And, you know, yesterday you really needed that defense for the Titans to step up, and they didn't do it. So, but I'm with the call. I mean, it really is a grab bag of issues here with this team.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Keith in Bowling Green. Keith, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I mean, to me, Levis showed potential last year. I mean, I can't understand why it seems like to me that the coaching staff is just trying to protect him and it's hurting him. And I realize that, I mean, he's brought a lot of that on himself. But and then the quarterback from Kansas City looked to me like, I knew he had a hamstring issue a couple, 3 weeks ago. Looks to me like he's still, because he didn't have that speed yesterday. Anyway, I'll hang up and listen.
Yep, thanks for the call, Keith. I mean, Snead did get torched a couple of times yesterday. Now, they didn't, you know, they overshot one. I think it was I can't remember if it was Downs or Pierce, the one they overthrew on that play. But it was not, you know, from just the general sense of it, a couple of plays yesterday, Joe, Snead did get torched a few times, which was not encouraging to see.
Yeah. No, he did. He got beat in the key moments. The PI was the right call.
Yep.
Again, you know, the TD and the first down are both situations where the cover, you know, he's there. It's a
touchdown catch was a great play by Pittman. That's a heck of a catch.
It was. Yeah, exactly. No, it absolutely was. So, I mean, those play, like in general with him, I mean, it's disappointing without question that the guy, you know, you traded for, you pay 76 over four and he's giving up those plays. That's disappointing. I still would not put him anywhere near the top of the list of issues. In fact, I'd say, I mean, who was good yesterday? Let's have a moment of positivity. Jarvis Brownlee's good.
Yep.
I like him. I definitely like him. I actually thought, you know, the left side of the line in particular, Latham Skronsky, they were pretty good.
Nick Folk looks great.
There you go. Stonehouse hanging in there.
NWI has got a 50% touchdown percentage in terms of his targets all year, so there's that too.
And 100% on catches, right? That's his right? One catch, one touchdown.
Yeah.
Am I right there?
You're correct.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. We've found the positives. But yeah, but with Snead, it is. It's still like, man, that's where you hope those plays are made by your team now, because you finally went out and got a number one corner. And I mean, just so far this year, and the underlying numbers say it too, he has not been great.
Yeah, it's been certainly more to be desired there in terms of what you've paid him to be and what he was last year for Kansas City. He's not been that to this point. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have more of your reaction to the Titans' loss to Indianapolis coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.